Hi, this is Devorah Harrow with Healing from the Holy Land. I wanted to come in for the second part about the truth about satisfying intimacy. If you haven't heard part one, then please go back to listen to episode 5 of season 2 before you listen to this so that you have the context of what I discussed in that first podcast. Excuse me. And now in this podcast, I'm going to delve into what I started and thought I was going to delve into last time, but there was indeed some background information that needed to be set up, some foundational elements before I went into this. I started talking last time about a client's story, and her story is unique. Everyone's story is unique, and I will break it down to a baseline. I'll break it down to the bottom line. People who have suffered sexual trauma can have a hard time opening up to full emotional and physical intimacy and really get to a point of full pleasure and enjoyment. And for, I'm going to talk about the woman's side of it now. Okay, for a woman who's been sexually traumatized, traumatized, she can have a hard time opening up, right? We discussed in the last podcast, I discussed the importance of the woman being able to fully 100% open herself up during intimacy. And that comes from a place of being comfortable with herself, and it comes from a place of being comfortable with her partner. And if she's had a situation where she was traumatized, then it might be very hard for her to open up in this way and re-expose herself in a place where she was exposed in a way that traumatized her. And so going back to that very, very vulnerable place, the most vulnerable place a woman can be in, can be a very difficult process. And the reason why this woman's story stood out, I specialize in trauma, post-trauma. That means that most of my clients who come to me have had some sort of trauma that they were either aware of prior to coming to me, or it came up during working with me. But their healing, or a big part of their healing process, is healing from usually past trauma, sometimes current trauma, sometimes very old trauma. And it can be a one-time trauma. It can be a continual, something that happened over time. But either way, out of all the people that I work with, a lot of people who are coming and dealing with trauma are dealing with sexual trauma. And this particular woman's story was, it just really struck me. It affected her. It was done in such an, it wasn't an attack. She wasn't attacked. She wasn't assaulted. But her situation was nonetheless traumatic for her. And it created a series of anxieties because the initial trauma was never dealt with. She was never, it was never explained to her what could be, how it could be, what is normal, what isn't normal, what to expect from her body, from the man that she's with. Again, I don't want to get into the particulars because it really, it matters, but it's also, everyone's story is going to differ in some way. And the ways that it shows up for a woman is going to be different. And what I want to get to here is that it can create a list of symptoms and default behaviors that come up. And so what I do want to say is that for her, it affected her daily life. The anxiety that she dealt with over decades really put her in a place of anything that had to do with intimacy became difficult for her to deal with. It was a very, very extreme case of this shame, the anxiety, the difficulty of anything to do with intimacy really spread out to her day to day. And it wasn't just issues of actual physical or emotional intimacy. It was even really like secondary and tertiary like places. Anyway, again, without going into full detail, because I don't think that that's what's important here, I want to stay focused on what is important. And what is important is how to allow a woman or a man to feel safe coming back into intimacy. And so I worked with this woman a whole bunch of times without knowing the source of what was going on for her. We hadn't gotten there yet. Everyone goes through their own process of, you know, we're peeling back the layers of an onion. And until the person is ready, until the body's ready, until the process is ready, everyone's healing journey is extremely unique, extremely different. Until that very significant piece is ready to be exposed and peeled back. So when we got to that point, I believe after like 4 or 5 healing sessions, and realized where the source of the trauma was and what created the trauma around sexuality and around intimacy, not just physical intimacy, emotional intimacy, as a byproduct. And because she felt like it would lead to physical intimacy, so emotional intimacy she pushed away as well. Obviously, you can assume how badly that can affect someone's life. And so just taking a moment to gather my thoughts and call in the right words moving forward. We got to a point where I wanted to do a session with her and her partner. And I wanted to help this middle-aged woman get to a point where she feels safe to experience emotional and physical intimacy, where she recognizes that physical intimacy can be pleasurable, it can be wonderful, it can be something that she desires. And to get her and her partner to a place where they both are enjoying the pleasures of emotional and physical intimacy together, God willing, for the rest of their lives. And so I set up a session with both of them, and I walked her partner to the point where she is at and laid out the setting so that he would understand where she's coming from. He's extremely wonderful, patient, gentle man. And they both went into this with a lot of compassion for the other, recognizing how difficult it was one for the other. And which in and of itself is a blessing and a great place to start. And I walked him through her experience and how what happened decades ago has created the reality. And it just keeps creating the reality that she lives in, and how we can calm that so that they can both have a healthier, full life and couplehood. And so we started out with a few things. First of all, the understanding that they both really do care for and appreciate and accept the other person's position. And the second thing was creating a safe space for her. And if it's the man who's been traumatized, then it would just be the opposite. It would just be the woman creating a safe space for the man. And in this case, the safe space was created by a no expectation rule set up that for X amount of time, the woman and the man are, there's no expectation set up for intercourse. There, we set the boundaries at hugging and for the woman to be able to lean against her partner, her husband, and that's it. So that she can feel safe that that's not then going to lead to something else and then she'll get stressed. So we set that boundary. Along with that boundary to help her feel safe and understand that when she does allow that level of physical intimacy, that's where it's going to end. She can feel safe building that first level of understanding what it's like to be held like that, to receive, right? We talked so much about how important it is for the man to give and for the woman to openly receive that. So to get them really into that place, I set up a situation, right? Or we establish boundaries for them to be able to get the woman into a place where that the man is able to give without stressing out the wife, right? He wants her to be able to receive openly. And now she's in a situation where she can calmly receive openly because there's no expectation that anything else is going to happen. And the other thing I spoke about with them was what I talked about in the first, right? We're going back to the same tenets here that I talked about in the first part of this podcast, which is the importance of the emotional intimacy. And I prescribed for them to spend either a few minutes every day or a longer period of time, 2 to 3 times a week, where they're just spending time with each other, with no one else around. However they can make that happen, it doesn't have to be something that they have to really go crazy about or plan super, you know, super dates. It can simply be a walk around the block, just the two of them. It could be sipping tea outdoors, you know, on their patio at night with candles lit. It can be so many different things that, you know, and I left it for them to decide how and what. Obviously, this is for them to build their intimacy. I gave them a few ideas and I said, now, here you go. And it took a while for the woman to really be able to get past her fears. And we added in one more aspect, okay? So we talked about first putting them both on the same page, understanding where the other one is emotionally, physically, psychologically, right? So there was that acceptance, one of the other, that understanding. Then we talked about setting the boundaries for physical intimacy so that the woman can feel safe in receiving and the man can feel safe in giving, happy in giving, because he knows she's going to be able to receive calmly. We discussed setting up emotional intimacy, and then we did affirmations because this woman's been living with this anxiety for decades. And overnight, it's a bit much to expect that overnight that's just going to go away. Even if she can feel safe with her husband within moments, even if she can enjoy the hugging and feel safe in that place of, okay, and you know, it's a learned behavior, which is why I set an extended period of time for them to just stay in this place of only hugging and leaning, you know, her leaning against him. Because she needs to see over an extended period of time that there really is no expectation for anything else. That's how she will learn to calm her fight and flight that goes into gear because she was traumatized, right? So the fight and flight's going to come up. So how do we stop that? By really reaffirming to her and changing that default pattern. It's the process of taking out the wiring that programmed one set of responses and setting up a whole new wiring system. And so the actions, the acceptance, the building emotional intimacy, the boundaries, all that helps do that. And the thing that really helps secure that even more are affirmations. And so we set up affirmations that her body is built to be, to enjoy and to feel, to experience sexual pleasure. We discussed that, you know, we set up an affirmation that she's safe to feel pleasure, that it's safe to feel pleasure, that she's safe with her husband. Different affirmations, that help rewire that program, right? While everything else is also building that, so are the affirmations. And she said to me, and this is very important, she said, even if it feels like I'm lying to myself, I said, that's exactly where affirmations start. We start by saying something that isn't our truth. We have a different belief, but we don't want that belief. That belief served us for a certain period of time for some good, but it no longer is serving us for the good. We see health in another way. We see health beyond that belief, and we want a new belief. And so, right, beliefs create our thoughts and our statements, and our thoughts and our statements create our reality. If we want to change our reality, we change our thoughts and statements in order to change our belief. Or we can change the belief. So with affirmations, we're working on changing the belief, on reprogramming, right? Taking out one set of wires and putting in a new set of wires by stating the truth, stating our new truth. And so for the first X amount of times that we say it, the first X amount of days, it's not going to feel like our truth. But then we will watch as God in the universe, God is the universe, you know, organizes itself around this new truth, and it becomes our truth. And I've seen this happen from the most minor beliefs to the I don't know if there's such a thing as a minor belief, but like from something that isn't considered necessarily a huge aspect of dysfunction to some things that are huge. I've seen this work so beautifully. And so we set her up with all these things. And at the end of the session, it was under an hour, the session, all told. And at the end of the session, I asked them to please, this was a virtual session over the phone. I didn't see them. It was on just a conference call between us. And I asked them to stand up and hug each other while I was on the phone with them. And go through that first experience there. And when they told me that they were done hugging, the woman was floored. The husband was so, he was noticing her reaction and the different positive, she was smiling. She didn't want to let go of his hand. And that was after just the first hug. She was able to let go of all this anxiety and just lean into what she already had. A strong, loving man by her side and feel safe with him and allow that emotional and physical intimacy. So I spoke with her a few days later and she told me it's just even stronger. Like it's just the way it's affecting all the different secondary and tertiary ways that it was affecting her day-to-day life and to just feel that calmness now. So I really, really felt like this was so important to share because people who have suffered sexual trauma, they suffer, their spouses suffer, and sometimes their children suffer. And as soon as they are ready and willing and wanting to take those steps forward into healthy intimacy, into fully healing, then we face what happened. We get the couple on both of them on the same page of understanding, God willing. Both of them should be willing to be in a place where they're willing to have that frank, open conversation and then work with the tenets that help build physical intimacy in order to get that the person who suffered that sexual trauma to a healthy place. So like I did with the last podcast, I encourage people to please share this. I feel like this is a podcast, this is information that can just help so many people who feel trapped in this place of lack of intimacy. And it doesn't need to be from sexual trauma. It can be from lack of education in highly religious sectors where where boys and girls are kept separate until they're married, and that interaction, that initial interaction on their wedding night can be traumatic, can be difficult, can be embarrassing, can be, you know, confounding to people who are educated and who still find themselves in a place of like, oh, whoa, you know, this isn't what I expected and I'm not enjoying myself like I think I should. And I know people who go through decades of marriage without enjoying their intimacy. And I want that to not be a reality for anyone. I want everyone's reality to be a wonderful, fulfilling, satisfying, off the charts, pleasurable, mind-blowing, satisfactory sexual life. I don't like using the word sex. I really prefer the word intimacy, or making love. But the point is that that emotional and physical aspect of intimacy, I want everyone to be able to enjoy that. I feel like that should be, you know, a mantra for the world, not in an open, depraved way. It's recognizing the sanctity of what happens between two people who are really connected and really love and see each other and who are working their way through a committed, monogamous relationship and really want that side of that aspect of their lives to be healthy and fulfilling. So I just feel like it's so taboo. It's like if something in our diet or in our lifestyle is bothering us, we'll talk about it. If the school we're going to or kids are going to or the diet that we're living or that we're eating or the place that we're living, if something doesn't suit us, we know to talk about it and find ways to change things, to create a better aspect of our lives. And I feel like the intimacy is just such a taboo topic in so many social sectors. And I just want to break that open and open up the conversation. So yeah, if people have any comments, I would love to hear feedback comments. Be in touch with me at beitroga, beitroga@gmail.com. And you can look up other ways of working with me and being in touch with me at beitroga.com, beitroga.com. All right, sending love from the Holy Land.